95.3 WBCK now presents Coach's Corner, live from Lakeview Ford. For over six decades, this has been your number one source for all local sports information. Coach's Corner is proudly presented by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now, here's your host, Bill Broderick.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Choir, in the big chair once again on WBCK for another edition of Coach's Corner. Coming to you from downtown Battle Creek at Lakeview Ford on the Motor Mile. For more than 60 years, Coach's Corner has been talking to the city high school coaches about the week in sports, and we will continue to do that as we look back at last night's games and we look ahead to the week six of the high school football season with our first coach of the morning. But first, here is the Lakeview Ford Coach's Corner scoreboard. Last night, Lakeview and Battle Creek Central both were celebrating homecoming. However, each would come up a little bit short. Battle Creek Central lost to Loring Orc 6-0. And Lakeview fell to Kalamazoo Central 43-3. Harbor Creek went on the road to Grand Rapids Kanawha Hills and suffered its first loss of the season, falling 34-30. Penfield lost to defending I-8 champ Hastings 46-0. And St. Phil will complete the city schedule when it plays tonight at CW Post Field against rival Climax Scots. In the area, in the WBCK game of the week, on these airwaves, Marshall had a thriller and beat Jackson Northwest 28-27. Okin Alupade was the WBCK player of the week. He had 205 yards rushing and then two scores. In the other games in the area, Union City remained undefeated with a 35-14 win over Sand Creek. Bellevue rolled over Athens 61-0. Olivet down Eaton Rapids 50-6. Bronson beat Maple Valley 40-0. In other scores, Mendon was too much for Colon, winning 66-0. Parma Western beat Coldwater 49-7. Saugatuck beat Dalton Kellogg 49-6. It was Lawton 57, Galesburg 22. Portage Northern rolled past Gull Lake 67-14. Hanover Horton shut out Homer 63-0. And Fenville beat Tekontcha 40-0. We will be back with our first coach of the morning after this on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Tom.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Choir, here with our first coach of the morning, Coach Pacetti of the St. Phil Fighting Tigers. How's it going, Coach?
Good morning, Bill. Good.
Well, the St. Phil Fighting Tigers will be playing tonight at CW Post Field underneath the lights. They have their rival, Climax Scots, coming into town, and that'll be a fun game for everyone in the area. It is always a fun game when those two programs get together, whatever sport. But first, we'll take a quick look at last week. Since the last time we talked to you, you guys played last Saturday also, so we hadn't gotten to that game by Coach's Corner last Saturday morning. And you hosted Bellevue down for homecoming, an afternoon game under the sunshine, and Bellevue was too much for you guys. They won 62-18. Talk about what Bellevue did that kind of gave you guys a little trouble last week.
We knew going in Bellevue was a very physical football team, and that was what hurt us the most. They were very, very physical, and we just couldn't hold up, against what they were doing to us. There's no excuses. There's no way to say except, you ran into a better team and we got beat. I mean, they physically handled us in every aspect of the game.
Yeah, they have a real athletic running back, Seth Keeson, and he had a big game against you guys, scored four scores, and their big tight end slash defensive end, Chase Graham, is hard to handle, and he had a good game against you also. And that speed and size combination with the Broncos have been giving a lot of people trouble. They went 6-3 last year. Yeah. They're having another good year this year. Mm-hmm. And they're coming around as an 8-player team once again. They were good, about half a decade ago, and then they're coming back, putting the program together with some good athletes, and seem to be coming around with some good results right now.
Well, it's what really impressed me were their two guards and their center. They did a really good job. We can be pretty decent up front. But they did a real good job of handling. The three interior linemen did a good job of handling our down guys and our linebackers. So, you know, you got to give them all the credit in the world. They came out, played well. We did not have a good game. But that's still not an excuse. You know, they were the better team, and they are a good football team.
Colt Myers had three touchdown passes for you, including 261 yards passing. Mm-hmm. Carter Diswick had nine catches for 104 yards and two scores. Jackson Diswick got in there also. Mm-hmm. He's been a late add to your team. Came in early in the season, and he had three catches and 63 yards and a score. And I'm sure he's a nice addition for you. Get another athlete out there. And then Colt Myers, who does it all over the field for you, plays on both sides. He had 15 tackles, and Noel Gayona had seven stops. So some guys stepping up for you a little
bit. Well, Noel's a freshman. He came in, and he had an exceptional game, especially for a freshman that hasn't played a lot. And, I mean, he is not big by any means, but he's quick, and he plays all over the field. And, you know, he did not start the game for us. But, you know, after the game, I talked with him. And, you know, we've got to find a way to get you on the field. You know, and after we lost Sawyer Weiss on the second play of the game, which really hurt us, and with Sawyer being out, we will, you know, made it easier. We'll find a place to get Noel in there. He deserves to play. He plays hard. He, you know, like I said, he's got a motor. You know, he doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. You know, he might get blocked, taken out of play, but he's going to find a way to get back into it.
So you guys were 3-0 heading into that game and hadn't been scored upon, and now you're 3-1, and and they put up some points on you.
Yeah.
Did you see anything on defense that they were able to exploit that you have to kind of figure out going forward a little bit?
Well, it's unfortunate. I don't know if we can figure that out. It's the physicality. You know, they beat us up front, and it's nothing against our kids. You know, we are what we are. Our kids are playing as well as they can. Last week, you know, it was a rough day. It was a bad day for us. We, like I said, we didn't play well, but we've got to find a way to be able to move around teams that are a little more physical than us. You know, we ran into it before with Bangor. Bangor is a very big physical team, but we could get around them. We had trouble with that last week, and we're going to have to deal with that again tonight.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at now. Another game downtown for the Tigers. You're going to be under the lights tonight. St. Phil comes to town, and that's, like we said, that's always fun. St. Phil and Climax Scots is a co-op in a lot of sports, soccer and in baseball and softball, and those kids know each other a lot from those things, and that makes it fun. And Climax comes into town, and but they can be hard to handle on the football field, and they have been for years. And Coach Kevin Lang started that program 20 years ago, and his son Tyler Langs is running it now, and Kevin Langs is still on the sidelines helping him with the play calls. And Climax is 3-1 coming in, and they beat Cullen 62-14 themselves last week.
Yeah.
So they're a little bit on a roll, and they're a little bit hard to handle right now. Right?
They're going to be real hard to handle. You know, like we talked earlier, we're going to do some things to try to slow them down. And, you know, our kids are ready. You know, we will come out. We will do the things that we've put in this week. And let's hope we do them well. And I think if we do, then we can slow them down. Our big key is, are we going to be able to run the football? We know we can throw it. But we've got to be able to run the football tonight, too.
St. Phil, or Climax Scots, was undefeated last year, and including they beat you guys 47-14 a year ago. They have a lot of those same guys back, especially their full backfield. Luke Lawrence, Jackson Bagwell, their quarterback Connor Gilbert, and that combination has been a lot of trouble for a lot of people. Both those running backs, Lawrence and Bagwell, had 1,000 yards last year. They're pushing to get 1,000 yards again this year as seniors. Luke Lawrence, in their win last week over Cullen, he had 240 yards rushing and five touchdowns. And Jackson Bagwell had 190 yards rushing and three touchdowns. So that running game is what you kind of have to focus on starting and stopping, and then maybe clog those holes a little bit and then force them to be a little bit one-dimensional.
Well, we would love to make them throw the football.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you can stop the running game, I'm not saying they can't beat you throwing it, but you know, you try to stop what they do best, and they do run the ball. And you know, their quarterback, like I said before, he's tough. I'm just so impressed with their quarterback. The way he handles their offense and how he gets out himself, and he leads a lot of those traps right up through the hole, and he's a good blocker. You don't see an offense like that, you know, and with a quarterback like they have, the way he blocks for those two running backs, it's just another. They've got a good line to begin with, but then you throw that quarterback in there blocking too, and it's an added dimension that just makes it harder and harder to stop.
Yeah, a lot of times in eight-man football, you see teams trying to spread the field and trying to use that space, and with the extra less bodies on the field. But Climax Scott still, they compact everything still like they used to do in playing 11-man football, and it's all those quick traps on the inside and the fake handoffs, and you never know who has the ball, and it's a tough thing to handle. The key for you guys maybe is to shorten the game a little bit and make sure that you force them on long drives, and then you guys combat them a little bit by holding up with them and scoring a little bit in your passing game and then staying with them as long as you can.
Well, you know, they're going to pound it, and, you know, eventually they break one. We've got to just stop them from breaking a long run. And it's a lot easier said than done.
So you have Climax Scots tonight. You come back and you have another home game next week and play in Colon.
Yeah.
These three home games in a row, it can be a little bit of a struggle as you get in the meat of your schedule, but a good performance tonight, or you compete with Climax Scots and you want to roll into Colon healthy and then try to get those wins in the back end of your schedule here to try to make that postseason run, and that's kind of the focus right now as you hit the midseason, right?
Yeah, we actually thought the beginning of our season might be the tougher part. We thought Bangor and Litchfield, and then we thought it would be we'd have Bellevue, Mendon, and Climax be tougher in the middle. But now it's looking like that the end of our schedule is even going to be tougher. You know, some of the teams that we've seen, they're a lot better than they were last year. Is the best way I can put it. They're a lot better, and you know, Climax is a lot better. So that's what we have to deal with tonight. You know, we'll again come out and hopefully play the way that we normally play, because we always play us and Climax always have a knockdown drag out, especially through like the first half, and we eventually get wore down. But you know, hopefully we'll come out and play with intensity and make it a tough night. Make it a tough night and keep ourselves in the game.
Well, if you enjoy high school football and you're looking for something to do tonight, come on downtown Battle Creek and watch the Climax Scots come into town and play St. Phil under the lights at CW Post Field. It'll be the Inquirer game of the week. It's on, and you can catch that online after the game as well, and then the Inquirer in Monday's edition. So thanks for coming down, Coach, this morning, and talk to you again tonight.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on 95.3 WBCK FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Choir, back here on Coach's Corner. And we have our next Coach of the Morning here on the line from our remote studios. We have a Coach Robbie Hatton from Penfield. How's it going, Coach?
Good. How are you doing this morning, Bill?
All right. Yeah. Great. Thanks for joining us. Penfield ran into one of the tougher teams in the whole region here, defending league champ in the I-8, Hastings. And Hastings is undefeated after getting a 46-0 win over Penfield last night. And they still look like they are going to be hard to handle in the conference there. Tell us about what happened early in the game and how that kind of went and how the momentum kind of turned the wrong way for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we got the ball first, and we had a nice opening drive, moved the ball pretty efficiently with our run and pass game, and then a couple silly mistakes. Kind of been, you know, one of those things where, hey, our inexperience shows at times, and against a team like Hastings, who is just very gritty and disciplined, you can't do that. So You know, but I'll tell you, you know, our kids fought. They came out with some enthusiasm and some excitement. And, you know, we just were very inexperienced at a lot of positions. And we lost a couple key players against Harper Creek, two senior starters for us. And, you know, we moved some guys around this week, and we're trying to get there. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing about our kids is we're still practicing hard. We're playing hard. We show up every day putting in the work. So, you know, we got cold water coming up. And then, you know, so that's kind of our focus right now.
The Hastings team has been giving a lot of teams a lot of trouble the last couple of years. Talk about their style on offense. Is it more size, or are they a little bit more speed that can give you a little trouble?
No, I mean they're not a very physical. I mean they're not a very big team, but they're super physical. I mean they run a wing tee. They're not huge, you know. They don't have the size up front that Harper has or Parma has. But I tell you what, those kids have some grit. You know, I know everybody's using that word right now, but. I tell you what, man, those kids, they fire off the ball, they play hard, and they come after you. And, you know, I'll credit our kids. They never back down. You know, we came right at them every play, you know, and we knew that they were going to be physical up front, and we tried to match their physicality.
You mentioned it. We're heading to next week, and you're going to go on the road to play at Coldwater. And Coldwater has been up and down the last couple of years, and they have put something together a little bit this year with their passing game. They've been a running team the last couple of years, but they have a young quarterback that's been throwing the ball a little bit for them and make them a little bit more diverse. And you can't use the same playbook that you used against Coldwater the last couple of years. So tell us what you have to do against Coldwater to kind of get a win.
Yeah, I mean, here's the deal. They're going to spread it out on you. Their sophomore quarterback, Declan Foster, he's a good athlete. They want to spread you out and let him throw and run. You know, they have some good receivers out there. And, you know, credit to their coaching staff for seeing what they have, you know, in their program. And, putting together a new system that benefits their team. And, you know, hey, it's going to be a little different for us because the last, I don't know, four teams we've played have been very run heavy. So, you know, it's going to be a challenge for us, but we got some speed and some athletes on the outside. And I tell you what, we're going to coach the kids up and love them up this week, and we'll have a great week of practice and be ready for Coldwater.
You have some chances to, you know, to compete the next couple of weeks. You're playing some nice games against Coldwater and Marshall and Jackson Northwest. You want to make sure the kids keep their heads up, right? Because you can have a second half of the season can add some momentum for this program. And momentum is everything for you guys as a young team. You want to gain some confidence moving forward, and you're trying to build something. So building something can start this week at Coldwater. And how important is that going to be for you?
Absolutely. You know, we talk about it every day. Is we got to show up to work every day, regardless of the outcome. We still have to show up to work. You know, we talk about, you know, our program and where we want to go. And every day we have to compete. And, you know, so it's going to be no different this week. We're going to compete our butts off in practice, compete during the game. And, you know, we're going to have heart and we're going to have determination, and we're going to keep doing our best and keep being good men in it, on the field and off the field. And you know, it's kind of what our program is, and we're going to keep building it. And you know, like I said, you know, it's not going to be built at night, and our kids know that, and we're laying the foundation to make sure our program is going to be successful.
All right, well, we'll look forward to that game, Penfield at Coldwater, next week. I appreciate you calling in, Coach. Hey, thanks for calling in, and we'll catch up with you later.
Thanks, Bill.
Yep. We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM after this.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick, sports editor of the Battle Creek Courier, back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning, Coach Mason Converse of the Harper Creek Beavers. How's it going, Coach?
Good morning, Coach. Or good morning, Bill.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on down. We have Harper Creek was on the road last night. They took the long trip up to the Grand Rapids area, played Kanawha Hills, came up a little bit short, 34-30. Harper Creek got off to the early start, was up 14-0 in the first quarter. The game got close after that. It was 14-13 at halftime, and you guys were up 22-20 late, and then Kanawha Hills had some things go their way in the second half. They were able to hold on. Talk about that game a little bit, and then playing a tough opponent on the road, and what you can take from that.
I mean, first of all, what a great high school football game and a great environment. It was homecoming up there for them. We knew it would be a hostile environment, and they're an up and coming program. And we knew when we signed up to play them last year that to be able to go up and play a school out of the Grand Rapids area to really test and see who we were. We knew it would be a challenge, and it was a fantastic football game. We came up on the short end of it, but we learned a lot of things. I'm proud of how my guys fought. And, yeah, we did. We got up early on them. They made some adjustments, and we didn't convert on an early fourth down, and they tied it back up, so they continued to battle and scratch and claw and got back in it. And we knew going into the week they were explosive. We knew that they couldn't match us size-wise or physicality-wise, but they have some tremendous athletes. And so the game plan was to try and keep the ball away from them as much as possible because we knew that they were explosive, and they showed that. When we stopped them on their first drive, got the ball back and scored to go up 14-0, and things were rolling and going our way. But then we kind of stalled on our next drive. We got a holding penalty, put us at first and 20. We couldn't really recover from that. They got the ball back and scored to make it 14-7. And I don't remember what happened on the next possession. They ended up stopping us, and they scored again to make it 14-14. We had a chance going into halftime to score, and just through a critical interception, we were on the 30 going in. And we knew if we could get another score going into halftime, because they got the ball coming out of halftime, that would be a good momentum changer for us right there too. Unfortunately, just made their play. London Hampton made a terrific break on the ball and made a nice pick. We went to halftime 14-14, so it was a great ball game at that point.
Then it was back and forth in the second half, and it sounded like you had your opportunities in the second half to take control of the game, but fell a little short execution-wise in a couple areas where things you could have kept the ball and kept drives alive and didn't. Giving them the ball back to them, which is what you didn't want to do. You wanted to hold on to the ball, and then not taking advantage of those situations. Whereas if you had, it could have been a far different outcome, and you guys would have had a lead, been able to play with a lead, which is what you want to do.
Yeah, it was. So they came out and got the ball right out of halftime. Actually, scored pretty quickly, and so again, you find out who you are in games like that. And we knew, and this is nothing against our first four opponents, but with the scores we've had, we. Winning hides a lot of flaws, and I wasn't sure exactly how we would handle moments like that when we were being tested. So this game was really important to us, and there was lots of different ways it could have gone when they scored coming out of halftime right there. We blocked the extra point, so now it's 20-14. I mean, that's a momentum changer right there. We came right back down and scored. We answered and got the 2-point conversion, so now we're up 22-20. Defense came out and absolutely stuffed them. We did terrific that defensive possession, forced them to punt. And that's probably where the first critical error occurred, where we muffed the punt. So a nice towering punt, and I mean, our boys are usually sure-handed and made a mistake at that moment, and they got the ball back and off that muffed punt. And in critical games like that, you just can't make, or in big games like that, you just can't make those kind of errors and expect to overcome those. That being said, we did fight back again. So they scored, went up 28-22. So now we've got the ball back, and it's late now, late in it's fourth quarter. We're going to try and drive the ball and not give them the ball back again. So we're going to try and drive the clock, run the clock out. I think there was about 6 minutes left, and that we were about midfield, 50, 45-yard line going in, and we had fourth and a foot. And that's our bread and butter right there. So I just said, hey, if we can't get fourth and a foot, then we don't deserve to win. And we didn't. Give them credit. They stopped us on fourth and a foot, and then they went back down and scored and made it 34-22 at that point. Again, I'll give my guys credit. We continued to fight. We got into our 2-minute, drove down the field, scored, made it 30-34. We just didn't get the onside kick, and there was only about a minute 13 to go, and we had one timeout, so we couldn't stop the clock at that point.
You were still able to run the ball for the most part. Chase Nichols had 162 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns. Kamari Hampton had 50 yards and a score. But the end result is that you suffer your first loss of the season and go to 4-1. But now things get a little serious. You're going to turn the page and you're going to start heading into league play again. And you have back-to-back games against some of the heavyweights of the Interstate 8 Conference, playing at Parma Western next week and Hastings at home the week after that. And that's a big-time doubleheader. It's something that's been circled on your guys' calendar throughout the summer, and you're looking forward to both those games and taking them one at a time. But Parma Western has been something that someone's been giving you guys trouble the last couple of years, and I'm sure that's a game that you guys are looking forward to.
Yeah, we knew actually this three-game stretch was going to be the gauntlet of the season right here. So it's another homecoming. It's their homecoming, and we've known that for – I think we've known that since February that it was their homecoming too. So get another opportunity to play in front of a hostile crowd on the road. And, yeah, and so it's going to be a great football environment. And our guys will be ready. You know, defensively again last night, we gave up more points than we've given up throughout the year, but – overall, I'm proud of how the guys continued to battle. So Jimmy Leamy had 10 tackles. Levi Carr had 10 tackles. Blake Wagner had 8. Cam Converse had 8. And Nehemiah Wirt, at the cornerback position, just played outstanding. We put him on their best receiver all night. And I am not sure that he caught a ball last night. And there were several that were contested right there. A couple he had in his hands, and Nehemiah ripped out. And he just continues to get better and better each week and is a nice weapon to put out there. Against the team's best receiver. So in the end, we'll learn a lot from this, and we just made too many mistakes. And you need games like this at times. I wish we would have come out on the winning end, but you need games that test you so that you can learn from them and get better and be ready for the big test down the road and then the playoffs.
And Parma Western is going to be one of those tests. They beat Coldwater last night 49-7. Parma Western is coming off a loss to Hastings last week, so that's kind of slotting how the league is going to go this year. And you guys playing Parma Western next is going to be the next test for both your teams, and looking forward to that. That'll be a huge game for both teams next week, and exciting. Parma Western is big and physical, and playing them the last couple of years, what have you learned about them that kind of maybe help you out this week?
I mean, just what you said, they're big and physical. The rivalry has really heated up over the past couple of years. I think we're going to end up having to play them twice because we'll probably see them in the playoffs as well, and so that's just like what you see now, then you're going to see him again in a few weeks. And we were 1-2 in the state championships for track this year as well. So that is it's just become a really fun rivalry. They've got a great group of young men over there, and their quarterback is a top-notch quarterback. I know he's getting looked at by several colleges and around the state of Michigan, and they've got some terrific running backs. But it is still centered around their line and their defensive line. They've got league champion shot putter. I think he actually might have even been second in the state in shot put, too. So he's legit, and they got some powerhouses up front. So they match up against our strengths really well. So it'll be a terrific game, and excited for the challenge.
We'll look forward to that. Harbor Creek going on their road to play at Parma Western next week. And we'll be back next Saturday to talk about that game and the rest of the season. Thanks a lot for coming down,
Coach. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on 95.3 WBCK. Proudly brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Here's Coach's Corner.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our next Coach of the Morning here, Coach Lauren Granger of the Battle Creek Central Bearcats. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Tough one last night downtown. CW Post Field, Battle Creek Central fell short in a defensive battle. They lost to Lloyd Norris 6-0, and a game that was kind of on your fingertips, a game that would have been really important to your program to kind of get a win and get some momentum with your very young team, and it was a game that was hard to lose. That sums it up for you?
They're all hard to lose, but it is especially hard to lose when your community shows out the way that ours did last night. You know, it was homecoming. Obviously, we've had our struggles, but that hasn't deterred people away from supporting us. Was happy to see all the festivities and all the kids that were engaged. And, you know, community-wise, we had a lot of support. And disappointing that we weren't able to deliver for them. But, you know, kids played hard, and we continue to show improvements in areas. I'm sure that's hard to see when you're just sitting in the stands, but... You know, we've made strides, and we have gotten better. We just haven't put it all together quite yet.
The biggest part that was visible last night was your defense. They came to play last night. They were all over the field, and a lot of times in the backfield of Lloyd Norris, making gang tackles all over the place. It seemed like they had multiple hats to the ball every time they tried to run the ball and shut them down, and that Valkyrie Central defense did not give up a point. The 6 points for Lloyd Norris came on a fumble return when you guys had the ball, and they scored on that. So your defense pitched a shutout, and talk about that side of the ball and seeing some improvement there and giving you some hope going forward.
Yeah, great job by our defense. Our coaches put together a hell of a game plan. Ebby Wilson, who was crowned as homecoming king last night, had the game of his life, really. I mean, he played out of his mind. That's the best game I've seen him play. And he's the littlest guy on the field, too. I mean, he has the heart of a lion, and last night he played like he had something to prove. He was a big difference maker on our defense. Graham Askew played great defense in the defensive backfield. He had some very key plays on the perimeter, you know, where, you know, Loinorik's the threat that they have really is their speed on the edges. And number two is he's a real fast, he's a real dynamic player. We saw him running all over the field on scout film, and Graham did an excellent job containing him on the edges, as did other players too. But, you know, Graham played a really good game last night, as did Ebby. And, you know, defensively, we did give up a couple of big plays, but what was really nice to see was our response. You know, once we gave up a big play, how are we going to respond to that? And what we have struggled with in the first couple of weeks of the season is something goes bad and we just don't recover very quickly. And then something else goes bad. And you know, last night, you know, a couple key moments where Loinorik's had a big play and our defense just said, oh, heck no, I'm coming at, you know, and then the very next play, we make a big play. And, you know, never more evident than it was at the end of the game when it seemed like Loinorik's was going to put it away. Long pass play, and, you know, now our back's up against the wall and 2 minutes to go in the game, and the very next play we force a fumble and give our offense another opportunity. And so those are the kind of things when you have to be able to respond to adversity when it hits, and those are the kind of things we haven't been able to do through the first few weeks of the season, and we did it last night. And unfortunately, we weren't rewarded on the scoreboard the way we probably deserved to be, but it's nice to see the kids responding how they need to respond in times of adversity, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's really what this game is all about, preparing you to be able to respond to hard times that you're going to see for the rest of your life.
Yeah, the ball bounced the wrong way a couple times for you, and after getting down 6-0, you guys went on a drive and had the ball inside on the one, and it looked like you're going to punch it in, and you phone the ball into the end zone. That would have been 6 points there for you to tie it up or go ahead, and it could have been a different game after that. And then in the second half, your defense came up big again and stuffed Loinorik's deep and to their side of the field. They went all the way back down to the two and got a penalty to get half the distance to the goal and got down to the one. And I saw some people talking to them about or yelling out, so they should take a safety because they are so far deep in there and then kick the ball out there. But they decided to punt. And they punted the ball, and your guy got a short punt, and Joshua McDonald caught it and ran it in 22 yards for seemingly for a touchdown, which would have changed the game. And the referees, at that time, Loinorik's had 10 men on the field, and they ran a guy on the field. He had coming from the sidelines. He was off sides. They let the play go, and then but then afterwards they decided to call the play back. They didn't whistle it dead. So can you walk us through what happened there with, from your eyes?
They should have whistled it dead.
Yeah.
Had they, Joshua wouldn't have returned it for a touchdown, and it wouldn't have been such a gut punch to take those points off the scoreboard. They didn't blow it dead. They allowed the play to go. So, you know, at that point, they really should have stuck with their call. I feel like, you know, if the tables had been turned, if it had been us, they probably would have stuck with the call. But since the problem with that whole scenario is that they changed the call on the field after the fact. They put the points on the board. They called it a touchdown. Then they conferenced while we were getting ready to snap the ball for the extra point and decided to take the points off the board. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's the right call with respect to if they had just blown the whistle, you know, the play would have been dead. And that's what they should have done. They didn't do that, though.
And that crew was doing that all night. They were blowing the whistle dead really quickly on illegal procedure penalties and not letting plays go through. So that was odd that they didn't because it was such an obvious situation where the kid was running. He was running 15 yards in your defensive backfield onto the field because he only had 10 guys in the field. So it was blatant.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is you end up, when you do what you what they did, you end up penalizing the team who didn't make a mistake.
Right.
And that's a tough pill to swallow, especially in a game that's that tight. Those 6 points, at a minimum, force an overtime. But if we get the extra point, we win.
Right.
And so, you know, you want to argue, oh, that costs us the game. But at the end of the day, like I told the kids after the game, there is never one play that wins or loses a football game. Obviously, that was a gut punch and it was a big blow. But at the same time, you know, if the officials had followed the procedure that they should have, it never would have happened in the first place. So you have to be able to rise up and make plays after those sorts of situations. What I was talking about earlier, what our defense did when they gave up big plays, our offense needs to be able to respond in the same manner. You know, they took the points off the board, but we had another opportunity. They had to punt it again. It's funny that you mentioned the safety, too, because we talked on the headsets as coaches about trying to come after it and get the safety. And I said, I think I'd rather not. I'd rather not have the safety because we're down 6-0. The safety's 2 points, and then they're kicking it, you know, into our territory, yeah. Whereas if we force them to just punt, now we have another opportunity for a return, and at the least, we get the ball in their territory.
Yeah, that's what happened. It would have been an interesting decision, coaching decision on either side if that would have happened. But now the challenge for the coaching staff going forward is to keep the heads up of the team, as you had to have another home game against Gull Lake coming in, another opportunity to maybe get a W. And what's this week going to be like in terms of that mission to try to keep the kids in the game?
Yeah, you know, the hard thing is when you're in situations like this, it's really difficult to stop yourself from questioning your worth, you know. And that's true for coaches and players. And you start looking at individual decisions that happen throughout the game or plays that happen throughout the game, and you have a tendency to want to point fingers at things and at people and at each other. And so, you know, our focus is going to have to be on recognizing that, you know, every time you do point a finger, you have 3 fingers pointing back at you. And we have to accept as individuals and as a team that we all have a role in getting better. And we aren't ever going to be able to control the circumstances, but our response to those circumstances was what's going to be most important. Yeah. So
I'm looking for Valkyrie Central to get better next week and have a home game against Gull Lake. And it'll be fun to watch for people coming on downtown to watch that game. We're looking forward to that, Coach, as we talk again next weekend.
All right, thank you.
We'll be back with our next Coach of the Morning here on WBCK 95.3 FM.
Coach's Corner on WBCK, brought to you by Lakeview Ford, where community matters. Now back to the show.
This is Bill Broderick back here on Coach's Corner. We're here with our last Coach of the Morning, Coach Vernon of Lakeview Spartans. Good morning, Coach. Good
morning.
Lakeview had their homecoming game last night also, and they ran up against Kalamazoo Central, lost 43-3. You trailed 23-3 at halftime and didn't get any closer after that. Your lone points came on a 25-yard field goal by Gavin Deal. Talk about what kinds of things that gave you a little bit of trouble against a big Kalamazoo Central team.
Yeah, sure. We did some good things against them. When we talk about offensively, I ran the ball really well. But the problem is right now is that we're lacking the pass game. So if we do have one play of zero, you know, yards, we get into a, you know, second and long, third and long, well, our pass game's just not clicking right now. And so that's a struggle for us. Whether, you know, we're not getting separation from DBs or if we're just not hitting an open guy, just seems not to be clicking that way. But really happy with our run game. I mean, we were running power and counter really, really well. And you know, that's a staple point that I want in my offense. And so I'm really happy up front what we did there. And they're packing the box full of 7 guys, going cover zero out on the edges and, you know, still getting 4, 5, 6 yards a pop running power. But again, you know, you make those mistakes, and then you get in third and long, second and long. You got to be able to throw the ball a little bit to get those first downs.
Talk about some of those backs that had a good game last night for you, who shined.
Austin Wildermuth, again, just running the ball really, really hard. Brent Bourne, you know, both those guys ran the ball really well. So that was great. You know, unfortunately, as we got into that second half, my first and second string quarterback went down in the third quarter. You know, we're on a third string quarterback that is a sophomore. And you got one point in the game, we had some injuries going on that, I mean, defensively, you looked and had four sophomores on the defensive line. You know, just had just a lot of young guys getting thrown into the fire a little bit there. I mean, some of those guys are starters for us. You know, some youth, I think, is coming along a little bit as we're getting a little bit better. We did a little better defensively, getting into our fits a little bit better. Still having breakdowns. You know, we're getting three out of four plays that are fit well, but then we're just obviously making some mistakes after
Lakeview
that.
Lakeview is playing next week, playing Lori Norix on the road. A team that you guys match up well against, and then you want to get that running game going against Lloyd Norix and try to get a chance at a win, right?
Yeah, just want to get all facets of the game moving, and that's all. That's running the football, that's throwing the football, and then obviously defensively, you know, clamping down on them and playing a full football game.
We'll look forward to that next week. Lakeview getting on the winning side there, possibly against the Lloyd Norix team on the road, and things are going a little bit better for the Spartans, hopefully next week. Thanks a lot, Coach, for coming on down.
Yep.
We'll be back with our Coach's Corner again next Saturday. Join us on WBCK 95.3 FM. Thanks a lot for joining us.